If you want to read with me tonight, it's my privilege, my great, great responsibility. And I appreciate this awesome, awesome chance that I've had to get to share the word with you. I want to just one more night, if the Lord would help me, deliver my heart from 1 Peter. 1 Peter, I want to look at this book. I don't want to just read just from one chapter of this, but I'm going to kind of jump around. So once you get to 1 Peter, just stand with me a moment, and we're just going to read a few different verses here together. If I could have just a little bit more on the monitor, brother, that's all I need. I don't want to blow anybody out there. Just a little for my voice here. 1 Peter chapter 2, when you get there tonight, say amen. It's so good to see Brother Marty back with us. And you know, I just don't know why he don't go here all the time. But you know, I don't go here all the time either. So I tell a lot of my pastor friends I'm probably their most unfaithful church member. But it's good to have him here tonight. I appreciate everybody that's been faithful to this revival. I know that there's things that you could be doing, and there's a lot of responsibilities in life. Most people that are Christian folks are hard workers, and your employers like to take advantage of that, because good, hard workers, honest people are hard to find. And we appreciate you making the sacrifice and coming and being in church every night. May God richly, richly bless and reward you. 1 Peter chapter 2. I want you to notice as we begin reading this in different areas of this book that there is a progression of a call that's coming. So starting in verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, if you're there, just say amen. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Thank God. Verse 21, look at that. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. We've been called out of darkness into light, and then we have been called to follow his example. You're being called. Hey, come out of darkness. It's better in the light. And now come on. Being called, follow his example. Follow his steps. Let's go read one more verse of Scripture in chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. You're there, say amen. If you're not there yet, say wait on me. Everybody else, say hurry up. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us, he's called us out of darkness and into light, called us to follow after his steps, but now hath called us into his eternal glory. Hallelujah. By Christ Jesus. Listen, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. How many like that settle part? Well, get over it. You can't stay there. Because what I have found is that every time that God settles us, then all of a sudden he calls us back into suffering for a while to perfect us, to establish us, to strengthen us, and then ultimately again to settle us. About the moment that it feels real good to get settled, he called us back into suffering. He calls you back into perfection, establishment, strengthening. He's calling you back into the fire. He is calling you back into a working. He is not done with any of you yet. We're all striving for perfection that we have not yet attained. Now, this is what I want you to just get in your mind, is that we all know that God never changes. The Old Testament lets us know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Old Testament says, I am God, and I change not. But can I tell you, just because God never changes, don't get the misconception that he is dormant. Because this God that never changes is always on the move. His Spirit moved upon the waters. That's what brought this world into existence and forming this beautiful habitation that we enjoy. God spoke this one word into my heart. I know last night I'm becoming famous for one word messages that I wear out. So give me one more opportunity. This one word, transition. Transitioning from darkness to light. Transitioning to follow in His steps. Transitioning into His eternal glory. Everybody say this out loud and get somebody in your head that you're thinking about when you say it. Say this. Say, move. Now that you've got that person firmly in your mind, just go ahead and say it one more time with a little bit more authority. Move! We got to move as a church. We have to transition. I'm not speaking of pastors. I'm not speaking of just deacons. I'm not speaking of just teachers. I'm talking about every saint of God. You can't stay where you are forever. God is calling us to transition. Would you raise your hands this way tonight? Let's ask God one more time. Lord, I thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your word. God, I pray tonight that Your anointing would come down in this place, that You would saturate every mind. God, I pray that You would completely captivate every thought. Bring it, Lord, to the knowledge of the Word that You desire for us to comprehend and to receive in this place tonight. God, let Your Spirit move upon these altars as lives are given completely and totally to You without reserve. I pray, Lord, that revival would break out and continue among every heart, every life that is in this place, every ear that's under the sound of my voice. God, let there be fresh inspiration to win the lost. God, to see Your will done in our individual life. We ask it in the name of Jesus. God, make us pliable, workable as we move in the direction of Your perfect, Your good, and Your permissible will. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. You can be seated. May God richly bless. I've heard a lot of preaching. I know that you don't know me as well, and I don't know a whole lot about you. But I hope you'll understand that I'm not trying to elevate my experience above anyone else's. But I really do feel that I am as privileged as probably anybody else on this earth to hear probably some of the best preaching from men of God that ever put on shoe leather. I've been privileged to sit under good men that were anointed, that had a good understanding, a good grip on the Word of God, and God anointed them and used them. I love the different principles that I've heard all my life. Now, in all of that preaching, some of y'all know that Dad would preach quite a while. They used to say that Dad was forevermore preaching the everlasting gospel. And so I heard a lot of preaching growing up, but not just from him, from all over the nation. And in all of that preaching, I heard a lot of messages on transformation. Now, I get excited about transformation. I love to preach about the fact that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, and old things pass away and all things become new. It's powerful. It's life-changing. It's exciting to preach about transformation. There's a lot of preaching that I hear about that. I hear a lot on translation, more so now in the last days, and depending on where you go, what church you go to, there's some pastors that are real focused in on end times. And when we talk about translation, we're not just speaking of the Old Testament and Enoch, but we're talking about the fact that one of these days you and I are going to be translated in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, from the place that we are to the place that we will forevermore be. I like the way Paul said it in 1 Corinthians. Man, it excites me every time I read it. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. If you can't get excited about the rapture, then I'm not sure that you're saved, because there's something that is exciting about knowing that what has been sown in weakness is about to be raised in power. That has only known the corruptible is about to embrace and put on gone and forevermore know the incorruptible. Man, I get excited when I think about a heavenly home. Maybe it's just because I've lived in an RV, a trailer, for maybe 30 years of my life. I'm excited about heaven. I'm excited about maybe having a hallway where I ain't got to rub shoulders with somebody else when I walk. I'm excited about all the prospects of eternal life and never dealing with the devil again. But as I look at both of these topics, and man, as much as I love both of them, translation and transformation, what I find is both of these require no work on the hearer's part. There's nothing you got to do to be translated. God's going to take you from here to there. It's not going to have anything to do with your ability to jump. Somebody that's white, say, thank God. Come on, you know, it ain't got nothing to do with your ability to spring from here. It's all God. He is going to take you from here and put you over there. I find transformation in and of itself, as much as we love to preach about confirmation of this body to what God has made us, a mere reflection of what's on the inside. Can I tell you, if it was not for grace and God's power that is in the blood, there is none of us that could transform this old man into this new man. It is all a work of Jesus Christ and the blood. So I find that both of these topics require no work on the hearer's part, but transition. Brother and sister, you better sit up and take notice, because more often than not, it's not transformation, it's not translation that's happening, but as we speak right now, God is calling every individual in this room to transition, and you better just buckle up your false teeth and make sure you got some grit in your crawl, because it's going to require you to go to work as the hearer. It's not just something we sit idly by and God transitions you. It is something that it requires work on your part. Just help me right here, and somebody look at somebody and say, go to work. Nobody wants a job. Sometimes you gotta let somebody know it's gonna take you putting forth some effort. It's gonna take you doing so. You can't stay the same. You can't stay the way you are. You can't stay in the situation that you're in. Let me just go ahead and explain myself. Transition, as defined by Noah Webster, not Noah Hatfield. I find that it is a passage, a passing or a change from one state to another, one condition to another, from one form to another, from one stage, from one subject, from one place, to another subject, to another stage. It is a movement. It is a development. When we talk, whether you realize it or not, we are consistently and always using transitional words. They tie our phrases together. They are the glue that keeps our thought along the process that we want to keep it on. Musicians use transitional keys in musical modulation to form chords and make things sound beautiful. Carpenters use a strip called a transition strip to let you know that there's going to be a change in terrain. You're going from carpet to hardwood, or from hardwood to tile or linoleum, or whatever your flavor is that you like. What do you say? I'm saying that it is serving notice to you that something is opening up in front of you. You are about to vacate where you are currently, and you are moving toward a new opening while leaving the place where you were vacant. You're going to find the transition is not where you're going and it's not where you are. Transition is the in-between. Transition is not where you're focused on and it's not where you've been. Transition is the in-between. It's a little girl that's not yet a little girl, but she's not quite a young lady. That little boy that wants to be a man, but is not quite got there yet. It is a caterpillar that's not yet ever taken sprout to its wings and been able to fly, but it refuses to crawl another day of its life. It is a spiritual metamorphosis. Can I declare to everybody in this room that right now, whether you realize it or not, God is transitioning your life. You are in transition. Now, I find this salvation is a continuous transition. If you're somebody who likes things to always be the same, saved, nothing ever changed. You're not going to like salvation, because salvation is constantly pulling at you, drawing you, trying to take you farther, trying to take you higher, trying to dig you deeper. I find the transition is from faith to faith, from glory to glory. But I can't just leave and say that that's a falsehood, that if I painted it to you as just glory to glory and just faith to faith, that doesn't even begin to describe the in-between. Because though you may be going from glory to glory, there's a trial that's right in between your glories. There is something that is threatening you to never partake of another glory. I find that when I read about Webster's definition, when you know there's always something down below it, some examples trying to show you this is the proper way to use the word transition. And every time they used it, they would always say something like a smooth transition. Or they would say a peaceful transition. You might as well just understand that transition is very seldom smooth, or is it ever peaceful. The reason why is because we misidentify it. We think that there's a problem. We think that God is taking us to a place that we have no desire to go. We don't correctly identify it. We look at our tragedies, our traumas, our trials, and our trouble, and we think that God wants to kill us. But God says, no, I'm not trying to kill you. I'm trying to move you. And if it was not for the uncomfortableness of the situation you're in, you never get up from where you are, and you would never move. The psalmist said it this way in Psalms 118, verse 5. He said, I called upon the Lord in my distress. How many of you have been guilty of not calling on God till you got stressed out? Yeah, as long as everything was good. Some of you, if God didn't put you in a bad situation, if you was never sick, if you never felt a pinch of need, you would never pray. And God has brought you to the realization that sometimes it takes you getting in a spot where you cannot deliver yourself, and the arm of your flesh is exhausted, and you can't do anything else, and you've got no other choice but to call on the Lord in your distress. The psalmist said, I called upon the Lord. I got stressed out. I like what he goes on to say. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. I love this. He doesn't just leave it there. He gets into this large place. Can I just read a few more of the verses? This isn't my entire point, but this is good. He says in verse 6, the Lord is on my side. He's just been in the midst of something that he could not deliver himself from, and a trial that he didn't know what to do with. And he comes to this conclusion at the moment that he just lets go and lets God. At the moment that he just gives all of himself and surrenders to the Lord, he says, I've just come to this realization. I've had an epiphany. God wasn't against me. God is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. I like the next two verses. I'm going to go ahead and read them. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. I've come to let somebody know, you better get your confidence out of all those around you. Quit putting men on a pedestal and allow God to be your sole focus of who it is that you epitomize and you desire to be like. God is calling us higher than we've ever been. It's time for us as a body to realize, I can't stay this way. Thank God for what he did in 2016, but God's taken me to new heights in 2017. God, help me to wake up and transition. Help me to transition. When we transition, it makes people around us uncomfortable. Because when you finally make up your mind that it's bad enough for you to move, there are some people that will look at you and they'll call you super spiritual. That, or they will say that you're just super needy. Always praying in the altar. always crying. Whenever there's prayer requests, I can tell you who's going to always give one. Y'all don't look at that person. There's ever opportunity to express needs. If the pastor ever has an open spot for counseling, we know who wants to be there. But sometimes it's that needy person that is realizing where I'm at is not where I need to be. Man, I wish every one of us would wake up and realize this on not just a Sunday morning, but on a Monday morning, that what God did for me yesterday was powerful, but I can't stay there forever. I can't always be in that situation. God is calling me higher. God wants to give me a greater revival. God wants to give me a greater understanding. Folks won't like it when you transition. I find that a lot of times they'll talk about you, but you just have to take consolation in knowing that moving wasn't your idea. It was God's idea. It was God that was moving you. How many of us have been guilty of saying, God, if you'd just take the pain away, I would be better. And God is saying, I'm trying to take you away from the pain. It's not a matter of me removing your pain. He could do it in a moment. But every once in a while, God wants you to take a step in the direction of that that will set you free from the pain you are in. And can I just tell you that if he's done it before, doesn't mean that he doesn't want to do it again. If God brought about a change in you 10 years ago and made you more spiritual, you did not reach the peak. You did not reach the height of your performance. God has something greater, not just for the young people, but for every individual in this room. God is calling us to transition. You don't stop transitioning until you die. And then in and of itself, death is a final transition into a place where glory will forevermore be. God, help us to embrace the move and let the world know I can't get comfortable here because I'm in transition. I'm in transition. It's funny to me. I think the pastor said tonight, speaking of some family member that's been bereaved of a loved one, as long as they're born again, they're really a good child of God, it's hard for me to truly mourn them being gone. It's been strange to me that we celebrate a birth and we mourn a death. That baby comes into the world and there's 50 people out in the waiting room. Wait and see, what is it? It's a baby. It's got a 50-50 chance of being a boy or a girl. But everybody can't wait. We celebrate. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not belittling that. Especially everybody's first new one. Boy, they can't wait. I love it. 3 or 4 months into it, that new smell wears off, and they're up late at night, and there's another smell. But the whole time that everybody's celebrating birth, death is over in the corner. He's saying, what's the big deal? I do the same thing. I take people from one dimension into the next. I move people from one place to another. Oh, God, help me right here. There's a lot of us that we get all worried about death, but can I tell you, there is no greater evolution. There is no greater response. There is no greater graduation that anybody could ever have than for finally, at some point in time in your life, for you to be able to lay down the weapons of your warfare and step into a robe that will forever be white and be granted with the crown that is given to you because of the labor and the service that you have done for God. Oh, can I tell you, there's a lot of us that we get worried about it. But can I tell you this? I don't want to preach too long, but I want you to know what I'm saying. I know there's a lot of individuals that are saying, preacher, you just say move, move, move. How do I know that it's time for me to move? God, how do I know that he's done with the work that he's doing in me right where I am? How do I know that it's time for me to progress? How do I know that I've learned the lesson that he's been teaching me? You know it's time for you to move because you used to fit in where you are and now you've outgrown the place. You are not able to fit in that spot anymore. That's how every one of us came into this world. You and I, we outgrew the living conditions. Now for 9 months, they could not have been any better. It was the very best opportunity
for you to grow where you were. There was nothing better that could be offered. It gave you nourishment. It provided safety. It kept you sheltered. But how many understands that after 9 months, you don't have the opportunity to say, you know what, I'm going to stay another nine. I'm not ready yet. At some point, God says, you got to move or you're going to die. And I've come to tell somebody here tonight that you need to embrace the fact that where I am ain't where I'm always going to be. I can't always be a dependent. God wants to make me dependable. I can't always be somebody that is in need of prayer. I need to become somebody that can pray a prayer. I can't always be somebody that has to lead you to somebody that can tell you about Jesus. But God, let me be the person that if you make it to my spot, I can tell you who he is, what he's done. I can embrace the salvation experience and declare to you how great it is. God, help us to transition our lives. Doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean that it's just, well, I might as well. It's going to be a great experience. No matter of fact, most of the time, when you transition, you're going to experience some serious discomfort, some pressure, some bruising. You might even be black and blue when you get to the other side. Somebody have to clear your lungs. But the first thing you're going to recognize when you get to this new spot, the opportunities are better out here. Wow, it's a whole lot of room. See, I was distressed, but then the Lord set me in a large spot. Some of you don't even realize the advantage that God's trying to give some of us, and we feel, well, I've been saved 40 years. That doesn't mean he doesn't have a bigger place for some of us. Man, the more I've heard about Brother Huff, is it all right if I just give him some accolades? It's very seldom you meet somebody or hear of anybody that their ministry is still strong, and they decide, you know what? Transition. The church is doing good, but I'm going to bring somebody else in. It's time for me to do something else. God is calling. You know, most people, I find, not just preachers, there's a lot of men. We like our titles, and we like to be identified with what we do. You know, everybody's a plumber, or they're an electrician, or I'm a teacher, or I'm this, or I'm that. We all have our own egos that we've got to milk somewhat and sometimes give it a name that sounds impressive. But whatever it may be, can I tell you that whatever you are now, if your whole life now evolves around the definition of where you are and you can't grow beyond, it's time for you to move. It's time for you to move. If you have got to the place where you are right now is the defining moment of all you could ever for accomplish, then God is about to graduate you. It's not a demotion when he moves you from where you are. God is promoting us. I said God is promoting us. He is trying to carry us into a higher height, a deeper depth. I want to let you know that there ought to be something in us that gets excited when we think about the prospect of what he's done in the past and what he can do in the future. There ought to be a made up mind that says, you better get out of my way. Whatever it is that's trying to keep me from the next level of God's glory, from the next revival that I'm about to experience, ready or not, here I come. Get out of my way. Move over. I want more of Jesus. I want more of his power. I want to know a greater revival. I've come to transition my life in him. I've got one more phase. Can I preach it? You'll never be fulfilled in where you're going until you completely vacate where you are. Some of us wonder why where we're going has not yet come about as an exciting feeling. And it doesn't seem like we're accomplishing anything. It's because you can't get anything done there if part of you is still here. Now just imagine with me for a moment. A partial move. I'm not just talking about, you know, sliding down the pew a little bit. I'm talking about you picking up everything you own and getting ready to put it in a house, and you just get part of it there and you leave the rest in boxes. And does anybody here move more than Tyler and Kayla? They've had a lot of experience with moving.
They're telling us they haven't been married all that long. Now, I move more than they do. But all my stuff goes with me. I have to repack, or I do, but it all just kind of comes together. My wife does most of the packing. I just hook up the truck and smile. But can you imagine living in a partial move? Just for a moment with me, imagine this. That you've been given this big, beautiful house. Is this church bigger than any of your all's house? It's a little bigger than mine. I'd be stoked. Man, this is awesome. But then what I find is that this room right here is the kitchen. Imagine walking way over here to make coffee, but your coffee cups can only be over here. Y'all can call me lazy, and I live in a small, confined space, but my coffee cups are right up close to where my coffee maker is. Anybody else like that? Anybody keep your towels in the bathroom or close, proximity? How many enjoy if you have a master bedroom, an attached master bath? It's okay. Nobody's going to think you're rich, but if you have one, just raise your hands. You know why we have that? Because sometimes we don't feel like getting company ready to go to the restroom in the middle of the night. The reason people have blinds is because not always do I want to get completely dudded up to eat some breakfast. Sometimes I like to eat it in my PJs. I like the convenience. Now how frustrating would it be if you've got this big, beautiful house, but the only restroom is up where the brother and sister Jarvis live? So in the middle of the night, or just let's say in the middle of the day, I want to go take a shower. And I go up to the bathroom, and I got to call back, honey, would you bring me a pair of socks? Some of us, we'll stay up for 2 days straight making that move because we want it all to be where we want it to be. And man, just having boxes around and things not knowing where it's at, it's maddening. It'd drive you crazy. I've only got some family that's dysfunctional enough that looks like they live that way all the time. We don't go to their houses. Don't have no desire to. It's frustrating being in a partial move. You've got some of it here and some of it there. Do you realize how many Christian people, that's why they live so frustrated? Because they've been transformed and they're trying to live a transformed life, but they've never transitioned. They're trying to live a life that's free from sin, but they're trying to live it from the hog pen that they've always been in. They're trying to know joy that's unspeakable and full of glory and embrace a fresh new revival, but they want to keep the same old mindset and the same old traditions and hang on to the same old things that were vices that held them back in the last place they were in. Can I just preach to somebody that God's come to let you know that the only way that we're going to accomplish anything in the present is for us to get all in. You cannot leave your heart somewhere else and bring your hands here and get anything done. You cannot have your mind. Some of you need to just hear this because it happens too many times in church. We get all dressed. We get our body here. We get our family here. We can get our kids here. And we ain't no more here than the man in the moon. We couldn't tell you what was sung or we just know we paid our tithe and we gave him the offering. I was there and Sister So-and-so got a prayer request. I didn't know it. You was there. She was right next to you. I was checked out. My mind was somewhere else. We're all guilty at some point, sometime, of being here in the natural, but not being here in the spiritual or the mental. You say, why is it that church wasn't as good as it was last Sunday or the last revival or the last experience? It's not that the songs are different. It's not that God's different. It's not that the geographical location is different. It's that we're not all in. And if you want to have a revival that makes a difference where you are, you got to serve God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul. God, help me to get my hand and my heart and my mind and my will.
will in the same place so I can make a difference for God where I am. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. There ain't no telling what might happen if everybody just threw their all at their problem. Too much of this generation is just giving a half-hearted effort, just throwing a hand at it, just throwing a thought. God, help us to put our all in and see victory and see power and experience revival like can be felt when we transition, when we give our all to God. You've got to commit thy way unto the Lord. You got to trust in Him. It's only when you have committed and trusted, then He shall bring it to pass. Are you all in tonight? If you're all in, then all of you needs to get ready to move. The natural order of things is this. It's not that you celebrate that anybody dies, but if no one ever did, there would be no job for the next generation. But the good news is that with every generation's progression, that they graduate to that holy place, that heavenly city, there is a vacancy that is left, and somebody needs to step in. Here's the problem. I'm closing. It's too many times we secure our position. We're identified with our position. I've taken up the offering for 42 years. I've sat in that seat since it's been placed there and bolted to the floor. And all of a sudden, if we're not careful, we're so consumed with holding on to what we have that there's better things, there's higher heights, there's deeper depths, there's closer relationships, there's a greater revelation. God wants to reveal more to you, but you can't have it if you're not willing to move. What happens if we get stuck where we are? It bottlenecks the generation behind us. Now, all of a sudden, others are premature and they're stunted and they're held in a place that they can't do what God's calling them to do because there is a traffic jam. And what happens inevitably is when there is no place to move up. I'm not talking about positions in the church. I'm talking about when there is nobody that has provided an atmosphere or a place to receive from. There's a whole generation that becomes a generation gap that now we look around and a lot of churches I go to, you've got an old group and you've got a little kid group and all the in-between are gone. It's never been God's will. It has always been His plan for the generation ahead to take a step forward, creating a vacancy that the generation behind steps into. And the moment they step into it, the generation behind them steps into it. And the moment that they step into it, little kids start. You ain't hearing what I'm saying. You see elders step into higher heights of God's glory and greater social security in Him. And then all of a sudden, there are little other people that are married and they've been growing and they're stepping into higher heights and new positions that they're making way for the newlywed couples as they're stepping into places that they've never known. And teenagers are receiving the Holy Ghost because there is a vacuum. Hallelujah. There is a vacuum being created with every transition. It is calling the generation behind us. Come on, step up. Come on, step up. Come on, step up. Don't feel insecure because you're moving from where you are, because where you're going is better than here. Hallelujah. So allow God to transition us as a church to a place where revival is not something we have 3 times a year. It's something we have 365 days of every year because we have graduated. We have transitioned. Make some room for somebody behind you. Transition. Transition. I hope it's not improper to say this, but we can't have a group of baby Christians that stays that way. We got to make some room in the womb. Let some new birth come. How many knows that there's nothing that's needed anymore in our churches than brand new, fresh, God ordains salvation. Seeking to save that's lost. Adding to the church daily such as should be saved. I don't know about any of you. I really feel this, that if everyone in this church took a step higher in God, it would create a vacuum at those doors. Where you work, where you and drink your coffee, where your family is, it would create a vacuum. Some of y'all remember that vacuum? That's why you're here. That vacuum that was created because mom and dad was so inspired by more of God. They wanted more of Jesus, and you got in church and you found that there was people that just were not satisfied with what they had. They wanted more of God. I know I've got to quit preaching, but man, I feel this. It's up to you and me to create that vacuum again that creates a vacancy, a position behind us that somebody comes in and falls into that grace and that mercy of God and finds that God is calling them to higher heights. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. My wife's coming tonight. God, I love you. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for your will. God, I thank you that you're continually calling us to more strength, calling us to greater revival. God, calling us to more of you. I pray tonight in this wonderful church, God, that has been through, no doubt, many transitions, some harder than others. God, sometimes things that we wouldn't want to experience again, but God, you've brought us thus far by faith. You're not going to leave us now. I pray that you'd move in this sanctuary and on this Wednesday night of revival. I pray, Lord, that you would inspire somebody to say, I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm leaving everything else behind me. I'm stepping to a place that I've never been before, not knowing completely everything that I'm going to see or that I'm going to embrace when I get there, but I'm going because it's the will of God and God will provide where I'm going. He won't take me or lead me to some place that he can't keep me. God, I pray tonight that you'd move, meet every need, speak to every heart. Don't leave one soul where they are, but carry us higher. God, help us to go deeper. Help us to know you in a greater way. I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.